Chapter 24. A wind infused with a fine powdery dust blew from east to west, coating all in its path with grit. Dust in Saudi Arabia was as constant as the tides in the ocean. Cool temperatures like today, however, were as infrequent as steaks at a Hindu wedding. Saud al-Sheikh stared at the empty expanse of the giant stadium in Mecca. Saudi Arabia was blessed with huge reserves of oil, fine hospitals and schools, and Islam's holiest site, Mecca. It is recommended that devout Muslims make the pilgrimage to Mecca or Hajj at least once in their life as a statement of faith. Each year, thousands of the faithful converge, usually in early January, with most also taking a trip to nearby Medina, where the Prophet Muhammad is buried. The influx of so many pilgrims in so short a span of time is a logistical nightmare. Housing, feeding, caring for the sick and injured, and providing security for the masses is both mind-boggling and expensive. Saudi Arabia bears the costs of the pilgrims visiting, as well as the public scrutiny if something goes wrong. With U.S. and British forces occupying both Iraq and Afghanistan, the simmering hatred for the West that permeated the region was a powder keg ready to explode. Security this year at Mecca would be tight and unyielding. Fundamentalist Muslims wanted the West crushed and wiped from the planet like a plague. The hatred was mirrored by the Western world, which, after 9/11 and numerous terrorist scares and attacks, had lost all patience with the fundamentalist message. If one more attack was to occur with Saudi nationals involved, most citizens in the United States would advocate an occupation of the oil-rich country. The lines in the Western world had become more defined as of late. There were two kinds of people in the world, friend or foe. Friendship was rewarded. Enemies should be eradicated. Amid all this tension, hatred, violence, and anger, everything needed to be in place for a safe and successful Hajj, which was due to start on January 10. There was less than 2 weeks to accomplish all the necessary preparations. Saud al-Sheikh studied a stack of documents on his clipboard. There were still 1,001 details, and the time of pilgrimage was quickly drawing near. His latest problem had just cropped up. The new prayer rugs he had ordered from England. They were not finished yet, and the mill had just changed hands. That, combined with the fact that England was not exactly held in esteem by his people because of the UK's support of the United States in the occupation of Iraq, was creating a hassle. Al-Sheikh wondered if a bribe to the mill was in order. He'd pay them extra to complete the order and then run them through a broker in Paris to disguise their country of origin. That would take care of both problems at once. Pleased with his idea, he took a sip of tea and reached for his cell phone to place the call. At that moment, the Greek cargo ship Larissa limped into the English Channel. The captain stared at his charts. He'd been ordered to dock at the Isle of Sheppey, and he had never made port there before. His usual ports were Dover, Portsmouth, and Felixstowe. What the captain had no way of knowing was that the British authorities had recently installed radiation detectors in his usual ports. By contrast, the Isle of Sheppey was as wide open as the Grand Canyon, and the people that had hired him knew this. The captain studied his chart, then made his course correction, then he scratched the scab on his arm. The Larissa plowed along with smoke from the aging diesel engine venting out the single stack. She was a dying ship, carrying a deadly cargo.